What to focus it on, and we wanted to just do a little review on that, and all right. True or false, anything you love, it's okay, it's good, as long as you love. False, good. There's some things we're not supposed to love. What is something we're not supposed to love? Raise your hand, we'll do one at a time. Charlie. This world, all right. What else are we supposed to love? Matthew? Sin, all right. Evil things, all right. Anybody else? Some other things you're not supposed to love? All right. That's okay. It's been a week, and by the way, if you did not have a last week's lesson, the first week's lesson, we have copies. So we're still not supposed to love our own lives. We're not supposed to love green stuff that would normally be in your pocket, but you're a Baptist, and it's called money. Not supposed to love money, and not supposed to love violence, the Bible says. Guess that does away with your MMA stuff and things like that, and so we're not supposed to love certain things. What should we love? It's true. Wicked places up the street. That's right. All right. What should we love? Neighbors, good. What else? God, good. Anything else? Other Christians, good. Other pastor, amen. It's good. And what else are we supposed to love? The Bible, good. I think I need to teach in the family a little bit. That's in there somewhere. Husbands, love your wives, love your children. Amen. I don't know if this is right, but that's the way I'm. That's good. It's good. And you know, it's interesting. I think a lot of people don't realize the Bible says you're supposed to be taught to love your families. And women are supposed to learn to love their husbands. And the Bible says that older women teach young women to do that. And so, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of that. A lot of older women who love their wives, like they love their husbands like they should, and so the wives don't learn to love their husbands. And so, and I think a lot of times the younger women love their husbands more than the older women. And so, anyway, a lot in there, and we're supposed to control our love. Uncontrolled love isn't good. The heart of man is desperately wicked, and shouldn't be trusted. And anybody need the first and second lesson? Okay. Here you go, Robbie. Anybody else? Raise your hand up if you need the first. I only got three copies left, so raise your hand up. All right. So we're learning about love and continuing. Oh, you're supposed to be teenagers. There you go. All right. Good. All right, let's take our Bibles and let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, the love chapter of the Bible, 1 John 4. Do a little during the morning lesson on 1 John 4, 1 John chapter 1 and some other things. We could do 1 John 4 later, but there's a lot of things to, a lot of verses here. What we do because of love. Our first text is Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so that's a big part of this lesson, is realizing that God showed he loved us. The word commendeth means the full demonstration. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Anybody know that song? Anybody? Who knows that song? Anybody? Okay. Just me. All right. You know it? Okay, two of us. Three of us. You want to come lead it up here? Aaron knows it. Good. Well, it's a good song. It's 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And so the motivation of love. and what it makes us do what we do because of love. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, help us to get your lesson today, and I pray you'd speak to us and help us to see what love will make us do, Father. It's so important. We live for what we love, and I pray you'd help us to understand this truth and grasp it and be very careful with it. And please show us your will and your way with this, Lord, and speak to our hearts in a powerful, powerful way through your word and what it says about love. In Jesus' name, amen. As we're continuing here on this series of love, love motivates us. It's the greatest motivation. Love motivates people more than anything else. And again, you can love bad things and be motivated into bad things. I mean, somebody loves Mother Earth and they go and live in a tree and change it into butterfly, you know. And, you know, I mean, they do that stuff because they love something. They love cars and they spend all their money on cars and lose their marriage because they never spend time with their family because they're so in love with rebuilding certain cars, something like that. I had a family member who loved racing, and he got a little truck that was a racing truck that kind of went in a little races before, big like NASCAR Indy races, and he always wanted to do that, and all of a sudden the door opened, but he had been married, and she said, "No way, are you crazy? You didn't tell me this. I don't want you traveling all the time, and you need to have a real job, and there's no money in that, and you need to be home with the family." And he said, "See you later." And she said, "See you later." And he got divorced over it. And literally because he loved racing, those things. And people love all kinds of things, and it motivates you. That's what the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so what you love motivates you. It's the greatest motivator. And love is not only is the greatest motivator, but it also causes us to do the most noble, important, and beautiful things that a human can do. It can cause you to go live in a foreign land. It can cause you to go live in poverty the rest of your life, to go help people. It can do all kinds of things. Love is the strongest motivator. It'll cause you to jump in front of a car and shove somebody you love out of the way and let the car kill you. Love is the strongest motivator in the world. It's an amazing thing. And so it causes us to do some things, some powerful things. Remember, that can be done for good or bad things. You can love money and live for money. You can love the Lord and live for the Lord and die for the Lord. And so what love causes us to do? Number one, it makes us give to others. John 3:16 is a good example of that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son. I gave my children to the Lord. I love my children, but I love the Lord more. And so I would love for my kids to be according to a nice plan for their lives and have them live down the end of the street and with a nice white picket fence and have a nice, easy life. But I gave them to the Lord. And if God wants to send them overseas and God wants to do whatever he wants, and if he wants to take them, I gave my kids to God. They're his. And he can do whatever he wants. And because when you have love, you want to give to the people you love. And sometimes in a marriage situation, when there's a marriage problem, there's a love problem. Because you'll find you got two people who are way too selfish. And you want to marry a giver. You want to marry a giver. And because they'll give to you. They'll care about you. Giving is not just financial. We always think you love, you give. You know, we hear the word give, we think of financial. Listen, God gave his son. Now, it's not a financial gift, but it's bigger than any financial gift. So, you know, you can give your car to somebody. You can, if you have a nice Suburban, you know. You can give. You can give a lot of things. I mean, you can give your time. I find in my life, maybe one of the most precious things I ever give away is time. There's just a lot of things to do, and life's busy, and to stop and take time with somebody. And they might understand that, but to me, that I'd rather buy them. It is less of a sacrifice for me to say, "Here's $20, go eat," than the time. You know, and the time is important. Now I want to spend time with people, and I do that. It's not a burden to spend time with people, but I'm just saying that's the biggest gift I can give somebody. One of them is time. And love, and there's all these things you give. And so in a marriage problem, many times you find out that, that neither one wants to give to the other person. It's all about themselves. They don't do this for me. 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 I want them to do this. I told them to do this. I want this. I want things like this. And the other person might even be trying, but they are so not full of God's type of love, which is unconditional, giving love, not worried about yourself. Look not every man in the things of himself, but every man also in the things of others. They all they can do is just notice what the other person doesn't give them. By the way, that's what a selfish Christian does. They're all in it for what God will give them. Or Christianity is actually the opposite of that. It's you living for God and giving, losing your life. But we're trained to be selfish. People come to church what the church can give them today. And boy, can I tell you, that's hard to have a good church that way. Man, my job all the time is to give everybody what they want. I can't even lead a song without, I don't like that song and I like that song. Why doesn't he sing this song? I mean, everybody's got their own will. And if it's all about us, then we all get selfish and I want this way. And why are our chairs orange from the 70s? And so everybody wants their own thing. You just notice it now, you get irritated, right? And so because we're all thinking about ourselves. And that's not the way the cause of Christ is. That's not the way the Lord is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, he's worried about other people. He's worried about others. And so God, when he loves, he gives. He gives his only begotten son. The Bible says, more blessed to give than receive. And it's not natural. Watch at Christmas time. I don't believe the children believe that doctrine is more blessed to give than receive. Matter of fact, it's usually, don't open that yet in our home. And stop! And we torment our kids on Christmas morning. All right, who's first? Let's start with the littlest kids. And then we go around, and each person enjoys it, and you write down who it came from. You know, now I'm old, I do that stuff in torment, and when I was a kid, I would never stand for it. But you know, it's not built into us. We're built in to be self-centered. We're built in to receive. And so love makes us give to others. Underneath that, love will also cause us to give to the needs that we see others have. And 1 John chapter 3, since we're near there, verse 15. And 1 John 3 and 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love causes us. The Bible says, how can the love of God dwell in you when you see your brother has need, and you don't take care of that need? You don't love like God loves, because God's love motivates you to give. You want to give. As a matter of fact, when you really have love, you wish you could give a lot more, even if you do. And so that's what love does. It gives. It's not concerned about itself. That's why the Bible says love seeketh not her own, because love wants to give. Number two, what does love do? Love covers the sins of others. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, and a couple of verses here. Verse 12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. And then Proverbs 17, and verse 9, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. I want to teach you one of the great things in life, that you can make your life a lot easier and a lot better, and it's godly, but it's not easy. Love covers sins. I was with someone this week, had a meeting with somebody as a pastor, church person meeting, and in the middle of that, they cussed twice in that meeting. It was in the vocabulary. I mean, it's an adjective, you know, I think one of the times they didn't realize it, the other time they did. You know what I did? I clicked, they didn't say a thing. just kept on going. Why? You know, we used to have a guy who got saved in church in Indiana, and he was a new convert, and he was excited about coming to church, but his vocabulary still wasn't good, and he loved the preaching. And multiple times during the service, in the first month or so he came, right in the middle of service when the preacher's preaching, he'd say, "Blank, that's good." That was his amen. And, you know, somebody offends you. You get a family member that makes you mad. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. But, you know, we're not very good at that. As a matter of fact, we like to find it, lift it up, and shove it in their face. Say, "Remember this?" That's what we like to do. You'll find people who don't have love mess up one time with them. And they will bring it back up, and bring it back up, and bring it back up, and bring it back up. You could have done 10,000 good things to them. They could have done 10,000 things against you. But people who don't have love, they reveal sin. It says, "He that seeketh strife revealeth secrets," reveals bad things. They seek strife. They want to bring things back up. You know, one of the hardest things in marriage, if you don't have two really good loving Christians, is one of them is a bringer backer upper. And, oh, the bringer backer uppers. Because it doesn't matter. If he's a bringer backer upper, she burnt his eggs, you know. And boy, it's coming back up. I mean, one little thing. And it makes it so that you can never, when a person does that, you can never fix them after that point. If they always bring things back up. You it's been 20 years since you ruined their favorite pair of shoes or whatever you did, and they're going to bring it back up. And 20 years later, you're saying, "Honey, you know, can I talk to you about how you talked to that person?" "Oh, you, Mr. Person who ruined my shoes." And so the Bible says love covers a transgression. It doesn't matter whether it's someone you love in your own home, it's a church thing. Someone in church is going to offend you. And you're just going to keep, or you're just going to cover. You know what? If you get good at it, you even forget stuff. Then they bring it back up to you. "I know I did this." And you said, "Oh yeah, I forgot about that." Because you're not thinking about that stuff. You moved on. That's a good term. You moved on. I'm glad God doesn't bring things back up on me all the time. If you want to be godly, God kind of covers things and bring them back up. I'm glad he doesn't. God wasn't still looking at the Apostle Paul as this terrible murderer of Christians when Paul was writing scripture and winning souls and starting churches. See, real love causes us, "I love them so much that I'm just going to move past it. I'm not going to remember it. I know it hurt me. I know it offended me. But you know what? I'm going to cover that transgression." And you just move on. That's what love causes us to do. Were you wrong? Probably really were wronged. But it says, "Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins." Love does that. Love can forgive and move on. Love can start again. And he that covereth the transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. You know, the family fights, the family's brothers and sisters who won't even talk anymore because of things that happened in the past. Oh, man. Needs to be some love in there. Well, they keep bringing it back up. Okay. They don't have as much love as you. You act like nothing ever happened. Just be kind to them. God did it for you for a lot more than they did to you. And so love covers the sins of others. You just forget about it. Just, you say, "I can't forget things." Well, if you quit dwelling on them, you'll be surprised how distant they become and how much, yes, somewhere in your memory banks it's there. But it's, you know, there's some things in my past that are somewhere in memory banks, but, and if I want to bring them up, I can, but I don't want to. Well, just do that with the offense of others. Just put it way back there. Things get pretty dull over time if you don't think about them. Keep thinking about them, they stay pretty fierce. Love covers the sins of others. Don't bring things back up. Forgive. It also says, do not spread the stories of other sins. It's interesting. It says don't do that. It's you don't got to keep spreading things. It says he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends in verse 9. He that cover the transgression seeketh love. You know, if someone does something bad, let's say Robbie, I do something bad to Robbie here, and Robbie forgives me for it. If before he forgave me, he went and told everybody the thing I did, now we got issues, even if he forgives me. You know, you don't need to be the messenger of everyone's falling, of everyone's mess up. Just do not repeat a matter. You don't need to let everybody know what happened. You don't need to know. You don't have to be, okay, just because you're curious doesn't mean you have to find out. I drive my family crazy with this. I've learned over the years of ministry, I just don't have to know so many things. So I've gotten used to it. I kind of did it in spades and everything. And so I don't know a whole bunch of things. And I'll come home and I got a wife and a daughter and women are incredibly curious. And I'll say, and they'll say, what happened with so-and-so and so-and-so? I said, I don't know. This happened. You know, I'll go to a wedding. Come back home. So what happened? They got married. I mean, like, who was there and what'd they say and what happened and how'd it go and who was it? I don't know. I was just looking for the reception and the food. And but I've learned in life, I don't have to know every detail of everything. I don't have to know everybody that fell, everybody that did this. I don't have to know the gory details. And like weddings. And I don't have to know all the things that happen in life. If you know how many funny things I say in a sermon that nobody hears. And so, just, you don't have to know everything. You don't have to be curious about everything. Why isn't so-and-so? You don't have to know. If it's your business, or if you want to go visit somebody, that's fine. If somebody might have went back their old life. Why did you know that? Why? Are you going to go restore them? If so, fine. Let's do it. I just want to tell you, a lot of people get depressed because they get too bogged down because they know too much junk. You think you have to know everything that happens in the news. You don't really need to know all that junk. Okay, if we're having a massive revolution and they're overthrowing in the government, okay, fine. You need to know that. Okay, I understand that. You don't need to know who kidnapped who and raped who and killed who. And you don't have to know all that junk. You don't have to know everything. That's one of the things we watch too much junk on TV and learn too much stuff. And by the way, on the internet, I don't have time to talk about this. You don't need to tell everybody every stupid thought and every bad thing you did on the internet. I saw Susie today, and Susie wears an ugly dress. I hate Susie. Get a life. Just relax, and you don't need to know all that stuff. Love covers the sins. Love doesn't spread stories. They don't have people's sins, even if it's true. I remember one time I knew a real gossip, and one time they just told about somebody and all that they did, and I said, why did you tell everybody that? And they said, because it's true. I said, who cares if it's true? So what? Can we tell all your sins that are true? I got to get to point number three here. Number three, love causes us to correct and help those we love. Love helps us, causes us to correct and help those we love. This is what God does. Hebrews chapter 12. Got to hurry. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. I can't do it. I got to go back to two. Can I tell you this Facebook thing? If they put stupid stuff and bad stuff on Facebook, you do not have to have their stuff come up on your page. You can, I don't even know how you do it, block them or hide them or shoot them or blow them up or whatever you got to do. Don't have all that junk come up. Because if you're a member of the church and I like you and I want to see how you're doing and you contact me or something, and I look at your Facebook page and you got smut there from Susie who always talks about her bad relationships. I don't want to see that. I don't want to fill my mind with that junk. All right. Number three, I'm there. Number three, don't spread stories about other sins and things like that. Hebrews 12, verse 5. This is what God does for us. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth you as with sons. For what son is he whom his father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. You're not truly God's child if he doesn't discipline you. Furthermore, we had our fathers the flesh, which corrected us and gave them, and we gave them reverence. Shall not we much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For verily they for a few days chasten us after for their own pleasure, but he for our profit. We are partakers of the holiness. And so we see God disciplines those he loves. God disciplines, he corrects. I want to say this. Love will cause you to go and correct people. When you have love and you see someone in error, you want to say something to them. You want to correct them. You want to fix them. You want to restore them for their profit, not so you can get it off your chest, by the way. It says he corrects us for our profit, God does. That's what God does. And so we see that God has this kind of love that wants to fix people. I want to say this in child rearing. if you're the right kind of parent, you're going to not want to discipline your kids because you love them. You hate to spank your kids. In most cases. Sometimes it's fun. We love our kids. We don't want to, and man, I hate, especially daughters, when you're a dad. You love those little girls and they love daddy and give them hugs. And then they gotta tan their hide. And you hate it. And God knows girls need it way more. I mean, no. That's not true, by the way. That's opposite of true. And you don't want to do it. But can I tell you, if you love your kids, you're going to take the time and the work it takes to discipline them because they're going to turn out bad. And it's bad for them. An undisciplined child in this world is a wreck waiting to happen. And you don't like it and you love your kid and you hate to see them cry and you hate to spank them. And you spank them, by the way. That's God's kind of discipline. You spank them. He spares the rod. Hates the child. It's a crazy thing. The parent who thinks they love their child and lets their child run around and be bad and be terrible, that child's going to have a terrible life and be spoiled and self-willed and not be able to follow the boss's orders and get fired and kicked out of school, all kinds of things, and have a hard life and where a disciplined person who learned authority and learned how to say yes and how to work hard and how to do what they're supposed to do and get up when they're supposed to get up and learn discipline, they're going to have a way better life. That parent who will not discipline their child is not loving their child by not disciplining them. They're hurting their child. Love causes us to correct. I hate rebuking someone. It's much easier from the pulpit. I don't mind preaching. I'm very comfortable with preaching whatever the Bible says, and I don't worry about who gets offensive. Personally, going to somebody is much harder for me. I hate rebuking someone personally. But, or correcting them, or whatever. But it's something people who love do. If you see someone going the wrong way, if you see someone walking down a road, you know on that road there's an animal going to kill them. If you love them, you're going to tell them they're going the wrong way. It's hard, but love causes us to correct. Next, number four, love moves us not to simply please ourselves, but to please the Lord and others. There's a lot of verses here. Let's go to Romans. Let's just do it in order here. Romans, it causes us to not simply please ourselves. You won't have to train yourself to please yourself. In most cases, it's built in. Yeah, self-centeredness is what we naturally are. We naturally want what we want. when we're hungry and a group of people is hungry, we say, I'm hungry. We don't say, you know, these folks really need to eat. Generally, we think, I want food. And they need to eat too. We kind of think of ourselves. But we're not. Love causes us to become unselfish. Romans 15, it says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for the good to edification. This is Romans 15, verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. But if anybody had a right to please himself, that is Jesus, as it is written, reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Can I tell you, when you start living a ministry life, and I'm not talking about a Christian who's ministering to people, I'm going to tell you, you have to learn to be unselfish real quick. Because you will need to go, you will be busy and living for others, and right when you're ready to take care of yourself, someone's going to call you and need you to go do something else for them. When you're tired, when you don't feel like it, your neighbor next door will need your help, and you want to be a good Christian and go help their physical, literal neighbors. I mean, your children, all you want to do is crash and lay on the couch, and they want you to play. I mean, it's very hard not to please yourself. It's so built in. But, and boy, you know the person you're with, their favorite food is Mexican. And you don't like Mexican food very much. And you say, hey, let's go to Azteca. For their sake. Boy, that was about the lowest point of the entire sermon. Bueno. Please not ourselves. Please others. Love motivates us to think about others. Listen, Jesus on the cross, you think he's thinking about himself? He was doing that for others, for the Lord and for us. It makes us do that. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I don't always want to keep God's commandments. My flesh doesn't want to. But you know what? If you love God enough, you do it. 1 John 5:3. turn there real quick. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It causes us to treat others kindly as we'd want to be treated. You know those verses. Do unto others, you have them do unto you. And love is fulfilling the law. And see, love causes us not to please ourselves. You know, here's what kind of changed my spiritual life. At first, I thought it was really fun to serve God, and I got saved. Just the feeling I got of serving God, it was just a feeling. I just liked it. I kind of glowed and felt real good and just knew there was something right in that direction. And then I began to really fear God and really have a respect for God. But then I actually fell in love with God as a Christian. And when I fell in love with God, it kind of changed the dynamic of my Christian life. Because his commandments were no longer grievous. I wanted to please him. I want to say, when you fall in love, pleasing the one you love is more important than yourself. I mean, a mom takes her baby home, and that baby, you talk about self-centered, babies are self-centered. It is, I want something, wah! That's their whole life. It's never, but they don't think, mom needs to sleep tonight. I'm just not going to cry all night. Mom is sick of changing diapers. You know what? I'm just, you know, take care of myself. It is not, they think about it is themselves. And a mom gladly takes care of that baby and loves to. Why? Because she loves that child until they're about two. And then she doesn't. And then it's on its own. But, and the diaper stays dirty for 3 days. And, that's why we do potty training. And so, when we love someone, when you really love your spouse, you want them to be happy. You say, you know what? She likes the house 80 degrees. I'm just going to turn the heat up and sweat. You got to do that. Or, you know what? He's hot and sweaty. I'll just deal with it. Or you switch it around or however it works. And you just say, you know what? He likes this. She likes this. My kids want to do this. And I'm not saying you cater to your kids all the time, but you understand the thought. You don't, when you love somebody, you don't want to just please yourself. What makes them happy? Even Jesus pleased not his own self. And so that's what God love makes you do next. We love others even if they do not love us. That's what real love does. That's only God's love. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we love others. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. So the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. that can only happen to a Christian, because if you're not loved back, you begin losing your love if you don't have the love of God in you. But you'll have those one-way love relationships where you love somebody more and more and they return the love less and less. And that happens. But you can do that with God's love. And then, of course, Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and verse 43, love your enemies. It says, of course, Matthew 5:43. It says, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Can't do that unless you love them. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you can be like God who did that to us. God sends rain on the just and the unjust. It doesn't only rain on the, or it doesn't only rain on the godly people's houses, and yards and farms. Ungodly people are blessed too. God just good to them. He gives them oxygen. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same. So you're supposed to love even your enemies. And then one more verse, John 15. And it's not in the lesson here, but love will cause you to die because of your love. And John 15. John 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the greatest love. See, love will cause you to even love so much you'll lay down your life for the Lord, for your friends, for the ones you love, your family. Now, that love is the only thing that'll do that. I mean, there's very few motivations that'll make you die for somebody else. And so, there's a lot of motivations in life, but love doesn't just make you do things. It makes you do great and noble things. I mean, in the military, a guy will die for his brother in arms that he loves. If a mom will die for her child, we do high and love makes us do high and noble things, unselfish things, thinking of other things because you love. It causes us to go overseas and go on missions trip. It causes us to pray when we're tired. It causes us to fast for somebody. It causes us to care enough to make a difference. It causes us to give our life to God because we love Him so much, we're willing to be martyred for Him. We give up some things we like because we love the Lord. We miss a football game because we go to church because we love the Lord. It makes us do things that are high and noble above ourselves, because love is the greatest motivator. Love moves you to action. No wonder he says, if you say you have God's love and see your brother having need and don't feed him and clothe him, how dwells the love of God in you? Why? Because love makes you do high and noble things. But you got to get back to real love, high love, that makes you quit thinking about yourself all the time, quit wanting to please yourself all the time. Quit thinking, this is the way I like it. This is the way I want it. This is what I want. Me, 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 me. It's not all about you. Get some love, and you'll see how everybody else is doing. You'll care how they're doing, what they like, what their situation is, and you'll live for others. You'll live for the Lord. A real good man, he's a pastor now, and he was in Bible college, and he was a ministry leader when I was there, but just a great man. One of the things he said, and I remember I was fresh at college and he was preaching on a bus to us. One of the things he says, you better learn to be a doormat. So you better learn to be a doormat if you want to minister to people. He said, their feet are dirty, you just lay down and let them wipe their feet on you. He says, learn to serve. Whatever their need is, if it's hard on you, it doesn't matter. If you got to stay up late to help them be blessed, that's fine. Learn to be a doormat. You say, no, you got to take care of yourself. Oh, yeah, like Jesus did. Or was it Paul that took care of himself real well? That's 21st century Christianity who told you it's all about you. In the Bible, Paul said, I'm gladly spend myself and be spent for you. That's Bible Christianity. That didn't feel right to me. Oh, well, I think the Bible's right, not what you feel. You got to learn to be a servant. Got to learn to serve others. Got to learn it's not about you. It'll help your marriage, by the way, a whole bunch. It'll help your family. It'll help It'll help your spirituality. I don't want to go to church tonight. So? Do you want to go to work in the morning? Who cares what you want? There's things you got to do. And so we got to learn to love. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. I pray that we'd understand how you lived. And help us to learn that this love is such a high motivation that it almost forgets self and just thinks about you, Father. We lose our life and we keep it. Boy, the reward for those who have real love, who love their enemies, who bless those who persecute them, who go the extra mile with their enemy. Lord, it's an amazing thing, Father, and I pray you'd help us to have that. I pray you'd help us to think of others and not just think of ourselves and look on the things of others. And Lord, it's that verse in Romans, I think it's 15, that amazing verse, for even Christ pleased not himself, but looked on the needs of others. It's an amazing verse, Lord. Help us to get the high love and be full of love, and not just love of self that thinks about us, but love of others. Help us to be that way in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm not going to have an invitation. Certainly, we're going